What is up, cyber and crypto freaks? You're listening to the Cybersecurity Cryptocurrency Podcast. Today is October the 17th of 2018. This is episode number 41. So some interesting topics came up today in the news. So we're going to talk about a few things for cybersecurity. One in particular is the big SSH vulnerability that was announced. Also going to touch on some of the D-Link routers that were vulnerable to complete takeover. And also, a researcher found a way to backdoor into Windows systems extremely easily, and nobody listened to it. And here it is 10 months later, and it's still pretty big vulnerability. Also, for crypto stuff, we're going to talk about Coinbase and their new listing that they've got. And also going to talk about market trends and then Bitcoin and how futures have affected the Bitcoin prices. So we're going to start with cybersecurity stuff today. As I just mentioned, kind of the biggest news of today was the SSH vulnerability that was uncovered. So if you use libssh for anything, go get an update immediately, because they found that essentially you don't have to have a password to SSH into a system that's running this. And the way that works is the SSH client, if you tell the server essentially, hey, the authentication's complete, let's connect, it would allow you to connect without even asking for a password. So typically it's, hello, are you there? Yes, what's your password? Here's my password. Okay, you're allowed. But in this case, it's just, hey, here's my, here's the proof that I'm authenticated, and I'm not going to give you a password or anything, and it just allows them in. So, pretty crazy bug there. Most people, though, from what I've seen in most devices out there that I've looked into, most of them use OpenSSH, at least from what I've seen. So I've looked at a few different routers and switches and other Linux systems that we've got at work. And the majority of those are running OpenSSH, so that's good. But if you're running libssh, go get that update right away. It's a pretty big one. So check all your devices that are running SSH, use SSH at all, and make sure it's not running libssh. Some other news in cybersecurity, there was an article about D-Link routers, a specific group of model numbers of D-Link routers that are open to a complete takeover type of attack. And obviously that's not good. If somebody completely takes over your router, they can pretty much own you and do whatever they want, redirect you to anywhere they want, reroute you or put you in a VPN tunnel to go to a certain place so they can capture all your traffic. There's a lot of things somebody could do if they had full control of your router. So if you have a D-Link router and it's on this list, which I'll post in the show notes with the link, if you have one of those routers, it's time to get that update right away, because this is huge. If somebody could take over your router completely, that's really scary. You combine this with the SSH vulnerability and you want to talk about people getting owned. That is, you know, with the combination of those two, that's pretty wild. So be on the lookout for both of those, the libssh and these D-Link routers that are vulnerable as well. So go check that stuff out. Make sure that you don't have any of these D-Link systems and make sure that you're not vulnerable. Some other cybersecurity news. There was a researcher that found a very simple way of backdooring Windows computers. And apparently nobody took notice of this for almost a year. So who knows how long this has been actively exploited. But essentially, they can take the permissions from one account and apply it to another. They're even able to apply it to a guest account. So you could make the guest account the administrator, which I thought was very weird. But they basically just take the, I believe they're taking the SID or the RID from each account and applying it to another account of some sort, which then gives the attacker full access. Now, obviously, for this to work, somebody has to have access into your system to begin with. So that's the hard part. They've got to have full access into your system. And if they don't have that, then they can't obviously do this. But if somebody has physical access to your system, they could certainly run this vulnerability or run this script they've created, this Python script, and make your guest account the admin and sign in with no password and then take over your system. So another complete takeover style of attack. And these are just getting more and more rampant as we go. But the fact that this one went unnoticed for 10 months, apparently the researcher told Microsoft about it and they didn't do anything about it for whatever reason, and it just kind of fell on deaf ears. So it's certainly scary to hear stuff like this and see that, you know, Microsoft didn't take action on it. And why they didn't take action is still up for debate. So either way, very scary. Microsoft is going to release a patch for it, so that will be fixed in upcoming versions or upcoming patches, but nonetheless, still very scary to think about that somebody could just completely own your system by taking your admin permissions away from your admin account, applying it to the guest account or some other account. So very crazy stuff there. But the fact that it went unnoticed is really the biggest issue with that topic. But on to cryptocurrency news. Our friends at Coinbase, they listed the 0x protocol. We talked about that a few days ago. And now you can actually trade 0x tokens on the Coinbase app. So that's pretty cool stuff. It's worth 99 cents or 91 cents, I think it was today, for that new token on there. But this just kind of opens the gates for other tokens. And that's kind of the good news here. So expect to see others coming up in the very near future. I would suspect that they're going to list EOS. That's one of the biggest tokens right now. Bat token is also doing really awesome. That's part of the Brave browser. Holy crap, they're doing amazing. But 0x, I think, surpassed Bat token right when Coinbase announced this, that they're going to support this on their platform. So it may just be a temporary bump in the market share just because it's now available on Coinbase and people use Coinbase pretty heavily. A lot of people do. But either way, it's just opening the door for more tokens to be listed on their platform. And I think that's great in general. Great for the crypto market too, because Coinbase is one of the few crypto exchanges, if you will, or crypto wallets that allows you to exchange US dollars from checking account or off of a debit card rather than having to wire money in like a lot of the exchanges do. So that's what makes Coinbase kind of unique. They're able to pull it directly from your checking account with either your checking account number and your routing number or your debit card number and whatnot. And that just makes it so much easier to buy and sell and trade crypto because you can use US dollars and buy whatever you need and away you go. And it's instantaneous as well, which is really awesome. If you need Bitcoin like now, you don't have to wait for a wire transfer to go through and sit around and hope that this goes through sometime this decade. You can get on Coinbase and get that done pretty much right away. So it's great news for people that use the Coinbase platform. I use it pretty heavily as well. So go get you some crypto on Coinbase if you want to check out that 0x coin or token that's listed on there now. Go buy some. Check it out. I would suspect with 0x that the price will start taking a dip now that everybody's bought it on Coinbase. But maybe it'll hold its value. I'm not sure. To be seen at a later date, but anyway, very cool stuff that they're allowing more stuff on their platform. It's been a long time coming, too, for Coinbase. They at first only accepted very few cryptos, and within the last 6 months, they've added a couple new ones now. So they added Ethereum Classic and now 0x. Moving forward in the right direction with Coinbase. And it's nothing but good for the whole crypto community and crypto market in general. More people can buy these now. But the BAT token really had me surprised when I looked at its value today. I was just shocked at the amount of people that have bought into this. again, it's used in the Brave browser, and you want to talk about some serious adoption. I mean, this thing is already just taking off. And the Brave browser is very, very slick. If you haven't used it yet, I've talked about it before on here, but I highly recommend it. It blocks all kinds of ads and trackers and all kinds of stuff by default. Firefox recently was trying to compete with Brave, I think, and they started doing some similar stuff there, but not quite as heavily with the ad blocking as Brave does, at least from what I've seen so far. Brave blocks all kinds of ads, all the videos that play on different pages, and their whole premise behind the BAT token is that you pay the sites that you visit the most with this BAT token, and that essentially makes up for the difference with showing advertisements on their website. So, different concept, definitely a cool concept. I don't know that that's going to, you know, take off by any means, but it sure does seem like it is. Everybody's buying these BAT tokens, and it's the value's gone way up. It's crazy to see how much the value's increased on that. So, go check out the Brave browser if you haven't already. You can get it at brave.com. Very cool stuff. Highly recommend checking that out. And block some ads and trackers and other crap that drive you nuts. Tell you what, I go to CNET News quite a bit, and their website just pisses me off because it's so damn slow. Every time I go to it, I use Chrome a lot of the time, and every time I go to it in Chrome, the page takes forever to load. My computer sounds like it's going to take off because the fans are going full speed, and I look at my task manager, and I find that the Chrome browser is using, you know, crap tons of resources. It's using, you know, 7 gigs of RAM or something stupid with this one tab. I mean, talk about ridiculous with the advertising. That site is absolutely ridiculous with their advertising. I cannot stand it. And, you know, I understand that they have to make money on this stuff, but good God, man. When it makes your site unusable, whew, that's just too much for me. But on to some other crypto news. There was an article today about Bitcoin futures trading, and it's gone up 40% in the last year. And this is great news for anybody in the crypto market at all. This is great news. This just shows, again, more adoption by more institutional-type investors. And with the SEC decision coming down pretty soon, I think it's going to help even more. You're going to see a lot more adoption of this kind of stuff. And it's just great news for Bitcoin in general. And I think it's funny that all the people that come out and say, Bitcoin's going to fail. But every time you turn around, somebody else is accepting it or using it in a different way or allowing it on their platform. Every time you turn around, there's something new coming out about Bitcoin. So I think Bitcoin's here to stay. All the other altcoins, you know, that's to be determined, I guess. But certainly Bitcoin is for here to stay. And I don't think anybody's going to knock it off its pedestal, at least anytime soon. Ethereum came close, but it was still pretty damn far away. Everybody uses Bitcoin to buy, sell, and trade. So it's still the big daddy. On the personal side of things, things that I've been working on, side projects and whatnot, creating my own crypto has been a lot of fun. I've got a Linux wallet working, and I've been able to send transactions back and forth. It's proof of stake, all kinds of cool stuff. So still tinkering around with that, so that's really fun. It's been a great learning experience, and it's taught me to learn how to code, essentially, that I never really knew much about coding. I knew some basics, very minimal basics. So this is teaching me a whole lot more. When I was younger, I coded in QBasic way back in the day. So I had some sort of experience with coding, although QBasic is not exactly coding, I wouldn't say, but regardless, it was brought back a lot of memories, so it's been good. It's been good and been a lot of fun. And I'm going to start setting my friends up with one of these wallets. As soon as I get a Android app built and an iOS app built, I'll also send that to them and start sending them some of my crypto that's worth nothing. we can make wagers and send it back and forth and see who wins in the end. Aside from that, at work, we're still locking down everything that we possibly can. We recently implemented a GPO that ties in with BitLocker, and anytime that somebody plugs in a USB device to their computer, BitLocker pops up and says, you must encrypt this device before it can be used on our systems. And if you choose not to encrypt your device, you can unplug it now, or otherwise you can encrypt it. And so we've pushed out that GPO, and it's forcing people to encrypt those USB drives. So that was really cool, a great step in the right direction as far as security goes, and just knocking down the tasks one at a time. We've also done some more with our Office 365 environment. We officially blocked all of the onmicrosoft.com email accounts, or email addresses, I should say, so that nobody can send email in to those addresses at all. So that's very nice. We've finally got that one locked down. Super excited about that. It took quite a bit because people were using those accounts, specifically using that email address for various things that they were logging into. So we had to migrate them away from that to use their primary accounts, and it was just a royal pain. But we finally got that turned on and started blocking that. We've also put in a new cool, I thought this one was really cool. So most people put the external tag in the subject line of the emails. So what we did is and I've seen other people do it too, it's not like it's something new, but we put the disclaimer in the body of the email, and we highlighted it in a light red color so that anytime they get an email from an external source, not only does it say external in the subject line, but it also has a little light red banner at the very top that says, this is from an external source. Please use caution when clicking links or opening attachments. So I thought that was really cool. Just another step to help end users with phishing emails and whatnot, and cut down on some of this business email compromise we've been getting. We're also officially using modern authentication now with Office 365. So that was really cool. We had some users that were using older versions of Outlook, and so we migrated everybody away from that so that they can officially use the modern authentication. And this is huge for us because modern authentication is what allows our single sign-on to work. It also allows our two-factor to work correctly, specifically for cell phones. So currently, if you set up your email on your phone and let's say you go out of the country and we require that you re-authenticate because you're out of the country. Well, if you're on your phone, it actually doesn't require that. So that was the issue there. And so we're like, okay, how do we enforce this? And we looked it up and come to find out you have to turn on this modern authentication. So that way it forces everything to go through that single sign-on app and follows the rules that are in that single sign-on system, including multi-factor. So we have multi-factor set up for specific users through that single sign-on platform as well. So definitely cool, and very happy we finally got to that stage. It's been a long time coming, but on my website I've got an article about hardening Office 365, and I talk about all the things that I just mentioned here, with the exception of adding that banner in the body of the email. So I will update that article and include that in that article. But it was pretty cool stuff. For that banner, you have to use HTML and you plug it into your mail flow rules. You plug in some HTML and plug in the wording that you want, and away you go. So, and there's a bunch of examples online too that you can Google and find, but I will update my article to include that as well. So it's all kind of a one-stop shop for hardening Office 365. It's funny that I Googled like crazy and never found anybody that posted everything about hardening Office 365. So that's why I posted that one on my website, because it's just all in one spot, and it included things that a lot of other folks missed or didn't think of. So definitely cool stuff there. I do want to thank our sponsors. It's Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. Their website is southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Go check them out for all of your T-shirt needs. If you need polo shirts or any kind of funny T-shirts, or you want to make team jerseys or whatever it is, and you've got logos and stuff, they can certainly do that for you. So it's southerngraphicst-shirtco.com is their website. Go check them out. That's all I have for today. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at eenglish34 on Twitter, at eenglish34. Hit me up on there. And that's all I had for now, and we will talk again soon. Thanks for listening.